In less than 2 weeks, President Clinton will be ex-President Clinton. He hasn't talked much about his future plans, but if he's anything like Jimmy Carter, he'll be a busy man. Since leaving office 20 years ago, Carter has been active in world peace, low-income housing, and he's written several books. His latest is titled An Hour Before Daylight. It's a collection of his memories of growing up during the Depression on a farm in Georgia. I spoke with the former president about politics in Washington today and about his early days in Georgia, where his childhood playmates were the children of black farmers and sharecroppers.
The Supreme Court had ruled separate but equal as the official law of the land, but we were neither separate nor equal in that we had the most intimate possible relationship between black and white people where I lived. We slept together, ate together, played together, fought together, wrestled together, worked together. And it was certainly not equal because our neighbors, who happened to be black, had no rights to vote or to serve on a jury or to have their civil rights protected. So this was a time of intense poverty, but it drew people together in a very strange and intriguing and at that time very gratifying fashion.
In fact, what you wrote is, my own life was shaped by a degree of personal intimacy between black and white people that is now almost completely unknown and largely forgotten. Why is that?
Well, that's true. I think it would be quite rare now in Georgia or anywhere else to find white teenage children that would sleep on a corn shuck pallet on a black person's floor, that would spend the night with them, eat with them, work side by side in the fields. And that constant intimacy that I experienced until I left the farm and went off to the Navy, I think would be almost impossible to find these days. And of course, with legal equality, we do see equal opportunities for advancement in life, but that degree of intense personal intimacy is basically gone.
Something very ironic there. Intimacy during legal segregation and now lack of intimacy with illegal segregation.
Yes, recently, for instance, in southwest Atlanta, there are very large modern-day schools that have between 800 and 900 students in them, not a single white student in the entire school. And so the racial segregation exists in our country, not mandated by law, but by social custom and by geographical housing and by preferences.
You are probably our most popular ex-president. Has President Clinton called you for any advice on what to do with himself now?
Not advice. I was talking to President Clinton Saturday morning, as a matter of fact, asking what he was going to do. And he said, well, immediately he was going to move to New York, which would be the base of his operations. He's expressed publicly, without my being present, some admiration for the work that Rosa and I do at the Carter Center, and said he might use that as something of a model. And so I would relish the possibility of having him work side by side with me on some of our Carter Center projects. We're in 65 nations now, 35 of which are in Africa. Or if he sets up a separate kind of foundation or center for activities, I would be delighted to join him as a partner if he invited me. So I think that the future holds some possibility that we would have similar interests, but go our own separate way and maybe cooperate when possible.
You have monitored elections all around the world. Would you consider monitoring the next election in Florida?
Well, this past year, in the year 2000, we monitored 6 elections in the world, in Asia, Africa, and 3 in Latin America. And I was really taken aback and embarrassed by what happened in Florida. If we were invited to go into a foreign country to monitor the election and they had similar election standards and procedures, we would refuse to participate at all. And I think and hope, but I don't expect, that the United States will now consider how to make our voting procedures less fraught with predictable errors. I could not believe that in Florida the error rate was expected to be 3 or 4%, which is an enormous amount of votes, many of which, of course, as you know, were not counted.
We're left with a lot of bad feelings following this election. Any advice for political leaders of either party on healing?
Well, Rose and I, although Democrats, will be going to the inauguration. I called George W. Bush as soon as the Supreme Court ruling was made that he would be president, offered my support and congratulations, and I've had several conversations with Al Gore since the election as well. I think now we just put that unfortunate election procedure in historical terms and look to the future. There's no challenge to the legitimacy of George W. Bush's presidency. And my hope is that the altercations that have afflicted Washington in the last 8 years or even more would be healed or at least attenuated so that there'd be a more reaching out to one another, more overt cooperation on major issues. And of course, in my small and remote way, I've been out of office now for 20 years, I would certainly be glad to help if called on.
Of course, President Clinton isn't through yet. He's still trying to get a Middle East peace deal.
Yes, I know that. I understand that he's trying it. It's the time is running out, and the differences between the Palestinians and the Israelis are so profoundly deep that I don't think any last-minute flurry of proposals can prevail, unfortunately.
He's doing a lot of other things, making all kinds of appointments and proposals, and you did that too in your final days.
Yes, not as much as he's doing, but I don't criticize him because of it. I talked to him Saturday morning, urging him to declare the wilderness area in northern Alaska a national monument so that it won't be destroyed, in effect, by massive oil drilling. And so that was another request that I made, that he do something at the last minute that might be somewhat controversial, but within his power.
Transition's an interesting time. Do you think George W. Bush has any idea what he's getting into?
He has a rapidly increasing awareness of what he's getting into. And although he's spending most of his time in Texas, which I certainly think is predictable, I don't have any doubt that he's getting an update every day from his future cabinet officers. This is what we're going to face when we get to Washington.
Former President Jimmy Carter.